This is our Thanksgiving edition of Chiefs Live. Thanks for joining us. Mitch Holter's with you, voice of the Chiefs, along with the Snapper. I'm thankful for you, Snappage. Thankful that all those snaps you made down through the years and made it to the Pro Bowl. And we all hope for better days. It was not a better day last week. This week, the Chiefs, it's donkey week, as I affectionately call it, as the Broncos come to town. But we do take a look back to start against the Cincinnati Bengals in a loss in that game, 28-6. Man, this game, you got a feeling it could have turned a little bit differently. But your thoughts early on. You played special teams in this league for 15 years. How many times in those 15 years did you run a fake punt from your own 29?
You know what? I don't remember ever being that far back and running one. Now, I can remember running a fake punt, I think, the very first game that I was with the Steelers at Houston. And I was actually, believe it or not, I not only snapped the ball, I pulled to the outside and made a block for somebody. It was kind of crazy. So Coach Cowher's getting kind of crazy on those play calls. But yeah, from the 29, you're definitely taking some chances there. But again, it was a big turning play for the game, as you mentioned.
I want to ask you about this, because it appears that Marvin Lewis and their coaches, a couple things. One, they saw something they could exploit based on what they saw on tape. And two, is a feeling that if they could jump on Kansas City, because they're down 3-0 at this point. If this doesn't work, the Chiefs could have a two-possession lead, ostensibly. But let's take a look at this fake punt. It was well done. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what? It wasn't expected. Nobody would expect that. But, again, each just got reached there and wasn't able to set the edge, and they go for big yards. They not only get the first down, but they get such good field position, as you see right there running free. And really, I mean, the guys that are covering the gunner, they're doing their job. But it comes down to it. Big plays made a difference there. And as you see, not having contain on the QB, he made some big plays. Dalton's a big, strong QB.
Well, that was a fourth down play, too. I mean, that's 4th and 7. He scrambles for 11 to keep this thing alive, and then A.J. Green is a man.
He really is. I was right down there at that play, and I could not believe that he was able to contort his body the way he did to make that catch. That is simply a Pro Bowl play.
And in case you don't get enough A.J. Green, here he is. I was teasing that I was going to keep him here the day after the game to hang my Christmas lights. He is just rangy, and then this is tough. Jermaine Gresham was a problem all day, and yards after catch, Wikipedia page would show his picture.
Well, you're exactly right. This guy out of Oklahoma, he is the real deal. He's given a lot of people fits this year. But, you know, the tight end position as a whole has given the Chiefs fits this year. So it wasn't surprising that they went after it. But, again, you see the bootleg right there, fools everybody, and they get in to go up. And as you see, total yards, 409 to 284 rushing. A big difference. The turnovers, you only have one, but the thing is that they can't afford to do that. Big thing right there, time possession, almost 10 extra minutes, or I guess a little over 10 extra minutes. That's huge.
The other big is going to that turnover column, zero on the other side for the Bengals. The Chiefs thought they could force some turnovers from Andy Dalton. He's thrown 11 this year, but I like Dalton, and the Bengals going to win by a score of 28-6. Now, it was the highlight of the day was the fact it was Military Appreciation Day, and honestly, it's one of the things that about this organization I like the best. Mm-hmm. It is a priority, 365 days a year for this organization to support and salute the military. And I've said this before on the radio broadcast, so many important military installations are right here in the kingdom. The Big Red One, the famous 1st Infantry Division at Fort Riley, Command General Staff College at Fort Leavenworth, Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, the B-2 Bomber in Whiteman Air Force Base, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. But you were down on the field. What about the emotion of Military Appreciation Day?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I mean, just you had the flyover, of course, with the A-10s coming over. That was crazy. But I remember that from back when I was playing as well. But the other thing that was wonderful was the flag. And you had 20 members of all four services down there holding that. Just a special, special feeling. And then, of course, the gentleman who's given a house at halftime. I was right there by that. I was doing some stuff, and then I managed to get my earphones out and listen to that. And I just started bawling because he was welled up. I mean, it was something he did not expect. And you just can't thank the servicemen enough, as you say. But having been up to Fort Leavenworth and been out to Whiteman Air Force Base, it's just words don't express it, really.
Well, video can. So let's take a look back at Military Appreciation Day at Arrowhead Stadium, one of the great traditions of this franchise.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her.
the light from above. You from the mountains.
One of the things the NFL is doing this week is, you know, saluting our troops, and my dad's actually here today, and I just want to thank all the, you know, servicemen and women who protect us, who give us the ability to do what we do today. You know, the things they face and everything they go through, you know, is much, much worse than anything that, you know, we're embattling through right now as a team. So I want to thank all the servicemen and women for everything they do, all their families for the sacrifices that they make and continue to allow us to live and have the freedoms and liberties we, you know, still continue to enjoy. I want to thank my dad for his service and all the other past vets as well.
Nothing will. And also a veteran of Iwo Jima, Marine that was there, that was recognized, one of the first to be on the beach in the invasion of Iwo Jima back in the Pacific Theater at the end of World War II. Okay, injuries on the offensive line are staggering right now for this team. You were down there on the field. I was trying to put it in perspective for the fans. Hochstein has been in this league 12 years, but only started less than 40 games. Hadn't had a start at center since 07. Winston has to go to guard. He's a tackle. You got a rookie, Stevenson, starting his first game at right tackle. Whoops, he has to go to left tackle when Albert gets hurt. This thing, I'm trying to look for the right word. To say it's patchwork is not even giving enough justice.
Well, it's unreal. I almost thought that I saw everybody throw a name into a hat and just put their name, and you're like, okay, you're right guard. You pulled out. Okay, you're going to left tackle. I mean, I've never, in 15 years, I've never seen an offensive line have to deal with this stuff. You have the center go out, so your left guard moves to center. Now he goes out. Now you had somebody coming in for the right guard because Osamoah is hurt, but then the center's out. I mean, I need an algorithm to figure out the offensive line and what's going on, but when it comes down to it, for most of the time, you only had one person in their rightful position when you started with Atlanta this year, and that was Brandon Albert, but he goes down in the second half, so he goes out, and now you move Winston back out, so you still only have one person in their same place. Just crazy stuff that really you can't script.
Did you just drop algorithm on me?
I might have.
That's pretty impressive. Because it was a couple weeks ago, you went Big Earl.
It's a beautiful mind I'm going with this week.
You went belly. We're going to get in a beautiful mind later. But you went belly button on me a couple weeks ago. Today you go algorithm on me. And I got a C minus in geometry, I'm just telling you. Third 9 weeks, I got in big trouble over it. Big trouble also meant big plays for Cincinnati. This is what cannot happen against the Denver Broncos. But let's take a look back at some of the big plays and your thoughts on how you prevent them this week and what happened against Cincy. And the draw play hurt Kansas City several times.
You know, it really did. And I think they felt like the run game wasn't as robust as maybe some other teams they've played. And that's true. But when you got Ben Jarvis, Green, Ellis running, I mean, I barely have enough time to say those words. But he did some good things, and they played off the pass very, very well. And again, when you get it to this guy in space, he's dangerous no matter who he's playing against. So really, really, it was tough, but you're right. You can't have the big plays this week when you've got Peyton coming in and doing some things because they lead. They're so high up in the league with catches for over 20-plus yards.
Yeah, they're a machine. We'll look at them a little bit later. But I want to ask you about the psyche of this football team at 1-9. And there's some individuals that have played like this team is 9-1. I talked about that on KCChiefs.com in my postgame report, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But I want to ask you, you played in this league 15 years. You were in the locker rooms of successful teams. You played in a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But let's be honest, you were in the locker rooms of some not-so-successful teams. The 97 Saints come to mind.
Yes.
This is a young Chiefs team, long-term. When you're going through what this team is going through, is there any issue of long-term damage, or how do you prevent stuff happening now from affecting a guy's career long-term?
Well, the first answer is, yeah, there's always a chance of long-term damage. But when it comes down to it, your leaders in the locker room, they have to step up. They have to keep the locker room together. And I haven't seen any cracking. And that's That's a good thing, and it's not surprising because of some of the leaders I see in the locker room. But you're right. As a first-year player, second-year player, you're wondering what the heck's going on, especially if you've come from a successful college program and you're not used to this stuff. It can really get you because besides the long season, now you're dealing with this where you've won only one game, and things just seem to be snowballing, and the snowball gets bigger and bigger, and it's rolling downhill like you talked about. So I think it's important for them each week to put things in perspective and understand what went wrong and understand that it's not just a one person making mistakes. It's collectively a team, and you hope that that helps their psyche going down the line in their future career-wise.
Well, speaking of algorithms, one guy that's trying to figure out is head coach Romeo Crennel, and we have his reaction going from Cincinnati to Denver.
It was a disappointing game from my standpoint. I expected us to do better than we did, particularly coming off of a Monday night effort and performance that we gave in Pittsburgh. Things we didn't do what we were supposed to do all the time, and we ended up giving up yardage, giving up points, couldn't move the ball offensively. So I changed the quarterback and tried to generate some offense that way. But it really wasn't enough, and so that's why the score is what it is. I'm not feeling very good at this point, but that's the key to get wins, all right? We haven't gotten wins, and so until we get some wins, whatever we do, doesn't make any difference.
Obviously, the results are the same, but is the team improving in your mind?
Well, just depends on whether you want wins or not.
What do you mean?
Well, if wins is the thing, then we don't have any wins, so we're not improving enough.
It's been difficult for Romeo Crennel. This guy has been in the league now for over three decades, and he's trying to fix it and figure it out. Now, I'm going to ask you about quarterback here because the decision is really coming down tomorrow. I just talked to Romeo Crennel moments ago before we went on the air here, and he stated right now he's wide open with this. He will decide tomorrow who the quarterback is going to be. What about that situation in and of itself? And people continue to ask, and I'm going to continue to ask,
right.
Ricky Stanzi, where does he enter this equation either this week or weeks to come?
You know what? Right now, we've talked about it. We've had just win a game week and that it hasn't went well. I think right now either Castle or Brady Quinn give you the best chance to win. I know you want to look at Stanzi. I understand that people want to see Stanzi. But in my opinion right now, I believe the coaches must think that's one of the other two guys that gives them the best chance to win. I mean, you're not going to make the decision after practice tomorrow. I don't think you're going to practice them both the same amount of time. He's going to probably have a feel for what he does. You wonder, you know, Quinn, having spent some time up in Denver, is this anything that might be a factor? I don't know. Quinn looked pretty well, pretty good, rather, in the second half of the game. But, again, coach's decision by Romeo to pull Matt and try Brady in the second half didn't work. But I can't blame him for trying to do something to shake things up.
Well, we had a chance to get some reaction from Brady Quinn after the Cincinnati game.
The bottom line is, you know, we didn't do things well enough to win the game today. We didn't sustain enough drives. You know, as far as the situation I was in coming into the game, I mean, that's the situation every backup faces. You know, you're never going to feel like you're prepared as a starter, and rightfully so. So, you know, looking at it, you know, we still got to, you know, go back and watch on film. There's obviously some things that, you know, we got to get better at, we're working on. We got some guys working in here and there, too, that, you know, we got to continue to get more reps and get better at as well.
I'm assuming you're going to start next week. Have you not been told anything in that regard?
No, I mean, and that's another thing. I mean, I'm not going to make any assumptions about anything. Okay. You know, we're just trying to continue to try to get better, look at the film, try to find a way to get a win.
I'm not trying to be funny with this question, but with the way you guys are beat up on the offensive line and beat up the receiver, what kind of prize is it right now playing quarterback for this team?
Look, I feel like I'm one of the most privileged people in the world. I'm very blessed to have the opportunity to do what I do. The National Football League is a dream, really. It's something that has, you know, not only changed my life, but will change my family's life forever. And, you know, I don't care what team you're on, what your record is. It is, without a doubt, the best job you could ever have. So I don't care what the circumstances may sound like or look like to everyone else. I love what I do. I love the game of football, and you know, I always will love being under center and, you know, going back there and slinging the ball around.
You know, with what's going on around here, what do you have realistically to hang your hat on that you guys can get some things done offensively and maybe win some games these last few games?
Well, I think that, you know, past couple weeks, you know, you saw we actually, you know, got a, we were able to jump out to a lead, which is good. But the fact of the matter is, you got to sustain that. You know, you can't, you know, get a lead and not continue to put points on the board. And that's the thing right now is we just got to be more consistent. You know, I think when you look out there, there's, we're definitely leaving some things out there on the field. So it's our job to, you know, find ways of, you know, finding solutions and making things happen out there.
Again, Romeo Crennel will announce his decision tomorrow on who the starting quarterback will be for the Bronco game. And you alluded to it. Brady was with the Broncos as a backup the last couple of years before coming to Kansas City in between his time in Cleveland and here.
All I'm going to jump in. I like his attitude in that interview in terms of he doesn't care what's going on. He's going to continue to play his game and go after things. I like that as a QB and as a leader in the locker room.
Well, speaking of leaders in the locker room, guys on the field that have continued to play like it's 9-1 instead of 1-9, and we just want to kind of chronicle a few of these. I mentioned several of them during my postgame report on KCChiefs.com. But to me, it starts with Derek Johnson. 13 tackles, 12 solo against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another double-digit tackle performance against Cincinnati. He's playing these games like they're the AFC Championship game.
He's doing a great job, and you see here making tackles for a loss. You know, coming into this game, he had 34 tackles for a 2-yard gain or less. Those are big tackles. He was second only to J.J. Watt of Houston, so that's a big deal. He continues to make reads, see where the fullback's going, figure something out, have an innate sense, I don't know, a sixth sense, and making plays. He is playing at a Pro Bowl level. I saw it in the game also. You saw the guys from the other team with Cincinnati. You saw them helping him up and doing things. They have respect for his game and what he means to the Chiefs.
And he's had great games against the Broncos in the past. Two pick sixes, only one of three humans in the history of the National Football League to do that as a linebacker. Another guy that comes to mind is Tom Bahali. Big time motor in the Cincinnati game. He was revved up for that one. The Chiefs have got to have him revved up in this game to try to make Peyton Manning as uncomfortable as he can be.
Well, you basically said it there, but he does. He's always got that motor. You know, sometimes he doesn't get to the QB right away, but he's just relentless in his pursuit of the QB. And if there's somebody that you need to get down and you need to put some pressure on this week, it's Peyton Manning. You cannot let him throw like it's a 9-on-7 drill where he has no rush, because if so, he'll shred you, quite honestly.
Justin Houston's another one. Now, most of the sack total came early in the year, but let's be honest. He's been asked to do some different things in the last couple of weeks other than just rush the quarterback. But this is an emerging star. If you're collecting assets for the future, this is one of them. And you put those two together, and the numbers are very, very respectable.
Well, you're right. 73 tackles for Tomba, 85 for Justin. The one thing I like about Justin is the fact that he's becoming a complete outside linebacker in terms of you see him drop back into coverage. He's got a sack. He's been setting the – or got an interception, rather. He's been setting the edge on the run plays as well. He's just doing everything. It's not just rushing the passer. At the point of attack, he's holding his own, and those are things that you have to do. And to be a second-year player, he's playing well beyond his years right now, doing some good things. He's something the Chiefs fans can get pretty excited about.
Here's tormenting Ben Roethlisberger, and of course this play, huge for the Steelers. And now that they've lost Leftwich, Charlie Batch will quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. You left too soon. You might be under center with those guys if you were still with Pittsburgh. Another guy that comes to mind, and this is a big week for the Colquitts once again, because Craig, of course, was the punter for the Steelers back in the Steel Curtain days. But here come the Colquitt boys, as, of course, Britton for the Denver Broncos. But Dustin has had a Pro Bowl season.
It's unreal. He has five more punts inside the 20 this week for a league-leading 27, and has one more, so he now has 13 inside the 10. Those are numbers that are really epic. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to do some homework and see what some records are, because what he's doing field position-wise is something you want your punter to do, but you don't always get it the way he is. He's very unselfish. He kicks that pooch-style punt, that rugby-style punt, and it's just very difficult for people. Doing a great job. The balls have had eyes, it seems like, sometimes this year. But, again, the coverage unit doing a good job as well down there.
And 13 inside the 10 is a ridiculous number.
It's unreal. I mean, it is. I mean, the percentages of scoring when you start inside your 10 are well below 10%. I mean, that's a lot. You need binoculars to see the other end of the field.
Okay, Jamaal Charles. And the Cincinnati game, to me, was another example, but a prime example of how the guy absolutely fights. Two big runs on the opening drive to get the 3-0 lead. He was used as a passing weapon as well, or receiving weapon, I should say, It's nothing but max effort from Jamaal Charles.
Well, you're right. 17 rushes for 87 yards, but they were tough yards. And as you see here, I mean, putting his head down and just going forward, he seemed to be just sticking his foot in the ground. He was giving himself one cut, and then he was getting as many yards as he could. Here you see that long 91-yard run that he had against New Orleans. I mean, this guy, he continues to impress. Everybody said he wasn't big enough. Even though he was fast, he wasn't big enough. He couldn't hold up to the rigors well. He's holding up to the rigors very, very well.
Yeah, 91-yarder, still the longest in the league this year, one of the longest in league history. You can look here at some of the numbers, but in his career, the yards per rush is what just jumps off the page here. And even this year, as tough as it's been, he's still running at 4.8 a clip.
It's amazing. We talked about the offensive line, Mitch. I mean, it is a patchwork offensive line, and they were doing some good things. I liked the game plan. You saw a lot of pulling. You saw a lot of people blocking down, trying to outflank people from the sides. But again, you had four or five people out of position offensive line-wise, and he was still able to get 87 tough yards.
Another guy that we want to mention, he's starting to come on. This is starting to look a little bit like 2010, is Tony Moiaki. He had the big catch of 38 yards in the opening drive, or the second drive of the game, led to a touchdown in the first lead of the year. But now all of a sudden, Moiaki's getting involved in this offense. What do you think of Moiaki?
Well, what I see right there is him catching the ball down the middle. If you can do that, that makes it a lot easier out on the edge if people now have to defend the middle also. And going up and catching balls like that, making circus catches against Pittsburgh, three catches for 68 yards. This last week, four catches for 73 yards, both respectively career highs for him. He does better on the next one. Just doing some good things. And he's made the comment about how much better his knee feels right now than it did at the beginning of the season. And certainly coming off an ACL surgery, that's understandable. But you see the numbers really bearing it out.
And it's led the team in receiving the past two games. And with the injury issues we mentioned on the offensive line, they're still there at wide receiver. Dwayne Bowe injured, left the game. The game before, John Baldwin left. So stay tuned on those decisions to be made. But if those two guys are out or limited, the tight end becomes even more important this week against the Denver Broncos. And another guy is Brandon Flowers. Flowers in two consecutive games now. He's got to go up against Mike Wallace and A.J. Green. The guy just continues to play and play at a high level with some difficult assignments.
He really does, and he doesn't back down from anything. I like him. He's cocky but not arrogant, and you've got to be that way to play defensive back in this league. I like how he handles himself. You know, borderline shuts Wallace down. I think holds him to three catches and not a lot of big stuff. He makes one circus catch in the end zone, but again, when you're playing guys like Mike Wallace or A.J. Green, you know what? Those guys get paid also. They're Pro Bowl players. They make plays. He's doing a nice job. He's certainly somebody, as a Chiefs fan, you can be excited about.
He's got a big challenge again this week because these Denver receivers are jumping up there with Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, who I love when he's at the University of Minnesota, Stokely and others. So Brandon Flowers and those DBs have got a big task this week. Now, Romeo Crennel knows about Peyton Manning. He's faced him 13 times. I'm going to do some more on this on Chiefs Brief later on this week on kcchiefs.com. But Romeo gave his reaction to what he faces this week in the Broncos offense and Peyton Manning.
Well, the fact that he's Peyton Manning is probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's a Hall of Famer. He's done a great job with that team of lifting those guys up, not only the offensive players, but he's lifted the defense and lifted that organization, you know, and so he brings a lot to the table.
Okay, all of the Peyton Manning talk. Now, you can tell ESPN focus groups because they're saying Tebow and Manning, exactly. And then after that, come back with a little bit of Manning. And then throw
you
in
just
some
mix
Tebow.
In a little Tebow. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And then just top it off with a little Tebow. And then Manning. Let's go with a 30-minute documentary on Manning.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
But it's justified.
But here we go. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. So you got to deal with it. Demaryius Thomas on the post play here. You speak of a beautiful mind and algorithms. I just want to go up to him before the game and just put like a square root symbol over one of his things he's got up on the wall of the locker room, just to throw him off. Here's a B instead of an A. Just throw the variable. That's what the Chiefs have to do to even have a chance.
Yeah, he's definitely at the window making markings and looking out over the schoolyard. But it's crazy. This is a guy that I think gets to his second and third reads before he even snaps the ball because he goes up and he surveys the defense and he does a nice job. And sometimes he's up there and he's making audibles and it means a lot. And sometimes it doesn't mean anything, but he does it all the time. He's just calm, cool, and collected, has thrown only 7 TDs to, I believe, 27 touchdowns. They're leading the league, I believe, also in 20-plus yards completions. with 44. League average 31. That's huge. I mean, and that's what you have to do in this league to win, which is get chunks of yardage. And right now, that's what they're doing. They're getting chunks of yardage.
And this is a big play. It's a wide receiver screen. And he's using different guys. He's using the tight ends on this team. You saw Jacob Tammy earlier. He's using everybody on this team as he did when he was in Indianapolis. And the question is, in the movie about Peyton Manning when his career's over, will Russell Crowe play Peyton Manning? That's the question. But I think all the Peyton Manning talk, and we don't have any Tim Tebow video to show you because the ESPN focus group said to play a little Tebow in here, is I think the most underrated group in the entire National Football League. All 32 teams underrated as we look at Manning's numbers. Right now, this year, that's where he's normally at, right near the top, completion percentage, the QB rating. We've seen this since 1998 when he came into the league in his touchdowns. You mentioned his QB or his TD to INT ratio, and it was huge against the Chargers. But underrated, the Broncos defense. In all of the Manning talk, I'm thinking, wait a minute, the first paragraph of some of these games should be the Denver defense. They were helping Manning out when he threw some picks early in games earlier this year.
Well, and none doing any better than Von Miller. That guy right now with 13 sacks was leading the league until last night's craziness. But the defense in general has made an astounding recovery from how they were last year. It's not something I saw coming, and you've got to attribute some of it to defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio. Yeah. You know, comes over as the former offensive, or rather head coach from Jacksonville. Must be doing some good things, but they are making plays, and that group of linebackers they've got playing right now, they're playing at a high level.
And they did it personnel-wise. Give John Elway some credit here, and Wesley Woodyard has elevated his
right
game. But you got John Fox. You mentioned Jack Del Rio. You got John Fox and Jack Del Rio in meeting room, basically.
Right.
And, of course, Fox doesn't have to worry about the offense anymore. Peyton Manning's got that.
Yeah, Peyton may be saying, you know what, we're fine. You just go. You check with the defense.
Or Fox is trying to get into the offensive meeting room and can't because the door's locked. So don't screw it up. But this defense has been something to see. But personnel-wise, they did some interesting moves. This is a blend now of guys that they drafted and signing guys like Keith Brooking in the middle of their defense. Tracy Porter at corner made some big plays early. Jim Leonard, who was out there for weeks, and he's there. I mean, they got guys that have been in the league for double-digit seasons, mixing in with guys that were already there that are playing at a high level, and then young dynamos like Von Miller.
Well, you're right, and when you look at what they're doing as a team defensively, they forced 77 negative plays. That's number one in the league with the most yards lost at 351. The next closest is 297. I mean, it's not even close. And then also an NFL leading 35 sacks. Again, this week for the Chiefs to be successful, you're going to have to drop back and you're going to have to get that ball out of there if you're going to pass the ball. Otherwise, you better get a run game going.
If this was an election, this was one of those elections you could call a winner at 8 o'clock in the evening, because with most of the precincts counted, you can probably go ahead and say that with our exit polling that the Broncos are going to win. We project that the Broncos will win the division. And, yeah, look at this page. It's been pretty clean there for the Broncos for a while. And they're winning there. But my point is this. All the discussion about Peyton Manning, and people say, well, it's a good defense because they get to play from ahead. You know, early on, let's just go back and look at it. The defense helped out Peyton Manning big time when he threw some picks and had some turnovers early in the year. So for Kansas City to try to figure this out, when we come back, is there any kind of chance? It's Donkey Week at Arrowhead Stadium. Can you beat Peyton Manning? Is there any shot at all? We'll see when we come back, because it is Donkey Week. Here they come. We'll be back with more after this.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women.
Women 40 years and older are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life. Stadium with the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate. If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on kcchiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
Chiefs fans, they're very loyal, very energetic. I mean, you talk about the stadium alone, I'm sure you've been there on game day, they go crazy. I mean, you catch a fan off the field, you know, at a grocery store or anywhere, they just love it. They're loving fans and very loyal.
Let's take a look now at our Chiefs breakdown. The Broncos are coming. It is Donkey Week, and there have been some epic games, and you were involved in a lot of them when you were suited up for the Kansas City Chiefs in this series. How do the Chiefs have a shot at slowing down the Broncos and potentially upsetting them?
Well, offensively, they have to establish a running game. If they don't do that, they're going to have issues because you've got the league's leading team sack-wise back there. So you've got to have that as something that they have to deal with. Peyton Manning, he likes to get the ball out of there quick with the 3- and 5-step drops. Justin Houston, Tom Bahaly, the pass rush, they have to get to him. If they don't, that'll be a long day as well.
It is a bit of an uncomfortable feeling, though, for Peyton Manning to see Tom Bahaly on one side and Justin Houston on the other, because Romeo Crennel, you'll hear him say throughout the week, and keep in mind Romeo has faced Peyton Manning 13 times. They get him off a spot.
Right.
Now, he's good. The ball comes out fast. But if two guys can get a quarterback off their spot, it's Tom Bahaly and Justin Houston.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, Tom is just relentless. And Justin Houston, the athletic ability he has, I mean, those tackles are okay that Denver has, but they're not superior. And Houston, he has a chance to do some good things. You see him right here, again, bringing down Roethlisberger a couple weeks ago. He's a guy that can make a difference and really get hot, and that's what you need. You need a guy to get a little bit hot, really start feeling it, and just make, hopefully, a long day for Peyton, or rather, at the very least, get him off his spot, like you said, and maybe get him out of his comfort zone a little bit.
Well, we said that Russell Crowe will play Peyton Manning in the movie made about him later on. That, or he could be on the new Avengers movie that comes out as part of the Avengers. The ball comes out fast. He's interesting how he handles with pressure because he has the uncanny ability just to move around enough, a fraction of a second, much like a Roethlisberger, the ball comes out fast, but he's got this lateral movement that is a sixth sense.
He does. He has very good peripheral vision where he's still looking down the field, but he can feel people to one side or the other. And again, just shifting, you know, a half a yard to the one way or the other can sometimes make all the difference in the world in terms of a guy getting a hand on him. And he'll stand in there and he'll take a hit. He doesn't like to do it, but he will. I mean, he is fearless, and that's something that the teams respect, and that's something that certainly his offensive line respects that makes them want to block for him even more.
For Kansas City, you mentioned the chance to have to run the ball or, hey, kiss a goodbye.
Right.
But also, the encouraging sign, one of the encouraging signs is Tony Moyaki
right
here. You're getting some chunk plays now from your tight end, which we you know, see Kevin Boss go down after that great catch he had against Atlanta, go down in week two. Moyaki's getting chunk plays, and now he's backed it up a week after another week. What about Moyaki's importance to try to upset the Broncos?
Well, it can't be overstated at all because it's huge. You've got Bo, you're not sure what's going on with that, and you've got Baldwin, he was out last week. So your outside receivers right now are quite honestly in a little bit of a state of flux. So the one guy who's been consistent the last 2 weeks, Tony Moyaki, he has to continue. Certainly that's something Denver knows as well. You would think they would try to jam him and keep him from getting to the middle, but again, that's what the other team should have been thinking also, and it didn't work.
Okay, well, as we close, Kendall Gammon, the snapper, always brings mojo. Your first year with the Chiefs was 2000, right or wrong?
Yes.
The Chiefs swept the Denver Broncos that year in 2000. I'm just saying.
There you go.
There you go, bobblehead. Joe Montana, his great Monday night comeback against the Denver Broncos. Bobby Bell tortured the Broncos. Tony DiPardo blew the trumpet many times. The walls of Jericho came down. You know that there's you got an all-terrain vehicle coming out. You got a 3-4-wheeler coming out and going to jump on the Bronco. And all the way down the line, Lenny torched him. Mike Webster, sure. Daron Cherry and the snapper. It's Donkey Week. Let's go.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this week's Chiefs Live.